Radio you can touch.
Alive. It's alive. It's alive.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
In the afternoon.
In the afternoon.
Starring Bob Lutz.
So we don't have to be accurate now. We just throw a bunch of stuff out there. And this dummy laughs.
You want my duck?
Jeff Lutz.
You don't have to fake it until you make it. Faking it is making it.
Good man always knows his limitations.
And Jason Duda. For today, anyway.
If you're lumping me in, I might as well get some shots in.
But I'm pretty.
Oh, yeah. If you believe it in your heart.
Alrighty then.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
You're right. Roller coaster ride of Bob and Jeff continues.
Sounds like a damn monster movie.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. It's a Friday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, Jason Duda in the three-man booth on a Friday where snow is melting, warmer temperatures, but we're headed right back into sub-freezing temperatures this weekend. Lows in the single digits, from what I understand. Is that an accurate assessment?
As far as I know, it's going to be cold. Once it gets down in those temperatures, 20s, 10s, single digits, doesn't really make a whole lot of difference. It's cold.
Yeah, it's super cold.
Well, it's just going to freeze this stuff
up. Shut up, dudes.
It's super cold. Hopefully everything will be okay.
You know what? Cold is not subjective, okay?
What do you mean it's not subjective?
You walk out there, you're Canadian, oh, I'm wearing my shorts, and this isn't cold to me because I'm from Sexsmith, Alberta.
There you go.
It's cold. If it's below freezing, that is literally cold.
If the wind's not out, it's not terrible. If the wind's up, then it's cold.
Well, get ready.
If the wind's not up, it's not like super Arctic freezing temperature.
The wind seems to usually blow here in the state of Kansas.
Well, that, Bob, I will have to agree with you.
So we would term this as cold, what's coming this weekend.
This weekend will be cold.
We're all in agreement.
Today is not cold.
No, I didn't say today was cold.
Well, I'm just saying today's not cold.
Today we have some significant melting going on, but the problem is it's not going to get all melted, and the side street, especially where I live, is still horrendous. Thank you, Wichita. And it's going to freeze up again.
They have to be working for years to get all the side streets.
They get to a lot of the side streets.
They do?
I haven't seen any.
Yeah, you think?
I haven't seen them get to any side streets.
You'd think the side streets right off the main roads would be first in line.
I would be in favor of raising my taxes to hire another 1,000 workers just to come shovel my snow.
Really?
How do you feel about that?
I don't know. I don't know if they have. There's 1,000 people who want to shovel snow.
Did they come out and do your road out there in Western Sedgwick County?
They did it.
Well, are you happy with it?
Whatever, man. It's
a dirt road. It is what it is.
Doesn't make a whole lot of difference. I drive from our house to 21st or our house to 29th, and then the roads from there are pretty drivable. So it's a minor inconvenience.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, dirt road to snow road, a little icier, probably a little slicker, but it's basically the same drive.
So, yeah, it's nothing.
For you, it's nothing. It's a piece of cake.
I'm on fast roads all the time. I'm on highways and byways. What is a byway, by the way?
Goes by a highway.
Are there any existing byways in the state of Kansas?
I don't know any byways. I don't know what a byway is.
Something made up?
We got a big football weekend in the NFL and, coming up Monday night, the national championship game in college football. We've reached that Monday night national championship game in college football with a 12-team playoff structure. Has it been good?
It's been there. I don't know if it's been good. It hadn't necessarily been bad. We're down to two teams where a lot of people think that one team is significantly better than the other. I don't know if that's necessarily good. The branding is good, Ohio State, Notre Dame, so people will watch. I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at. It's not this, one or the other, really.
Yeah, and you got the 7 and 8 seed in. What does that tell you?
It tells us, and Jeff will love this next statement.
Oh, nice.
We don't have a super team in college football.
No, it tells us that
This first season of the college football 12-team playoff will be seen as
I think it tells us that seeding doesn't really matter in this. It's not like it's 64 teams, you're seeding 1 through 16, and you know everybody qualified not based on we're the best team in a terrible conference. Everybody qualified by being very good. So, 7, 8
of them great.
Yeah, either they are or they're again. I don't know. I don't know how you define that. Ohio State's
I'll
been
ask Duda. Any of them great?
No.
There, he came up with an answer. These aren't difficult. It's a yes or no.
I don't know. Who knows? Maybe we'll look back in 3 years and half this Ohio State team will be starring in the NFL, and then that was a great team. I don't know. I don't know how it works. What do you say is great? It's all, again, very subjective.
Well, I don't know if it is. I think you look at these teams.
Isn't Jeremiah Smith great? Doesn't Ohio State have some great players that are going to probably excel at the next level?
Sure.
Their quarterback is not among them, and neither really is Notre Dame's quarterback. I guess that's what we ultimately look at, is there a dominant, great quarterback out there? And there wasn't really in this entire playoff.
Why are you continuing to talk a lot?
Well, you're not
Let
talking.
Let Duda in.
I'm fine.
I think he agrees with me.
What are we arguing about?
Not a great team.
That's all I said.
And I'll
watch the game Monday night, but I'm not sitting around like I have sometimes in past years. You remember that Texas-USC national championship game of
Sure.
What year was that?
Probably like 03 or
you remember that?
04.
That was
a Vince Young game?
Yeah. That was the Reggie Bush, and that was the real deal. Matt Leinart. I mean, my goodness.
Was that Leinart still? I guess probably it was.
Yes, it was.
Not Carson Palmer?
No, Carson it wasn't Palmer Carson
was
Palmer.
A little bit before that.
It was Matt Leinart.
Ohio State, Miami had a good national championship game. When Miami was looking for a repeat and Ohio State knocked them off with Maurice Claret and some other folks. So
Alabama, Georgia, overtime.
Let me put these numbers out there for Will Howard, okay? Because you just said they don't have a great quarterback. I would tend to agree with you. But the numbers might indicate differently.
Numbers in college football are
a little more difficult to read, no question. His passing completion percentage is almost 73%.
It's very good.
That's incredibly high. He's passed for 33 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He's only been sacked 11 times. I would tend to think that we didn't see this kind of year coming from Will Howard. Well, even though we knew he was a good quarterback from his time at K-State.
When you're with Ohio State, your numbers are going to be a little bit better, typically.
Yeah. All right. Quarterbacks at Ohio State numbers are good. Pretty good.
Watch out now.
They don't turn into much, though.
Not yet.
Justin Fields.
I don't want to go back and have to look that up.
Well, he's right. C.J. Stroud is the one kind of carrying the banner right now.
And he had
what
1 year.
Jack Mildren?
He had 1 year, and this year
he made
struggled.
That up.
No, I didn't make it up.
Never heard of the guy.
No offense, he might have played at Oklahoma.
Nobody cares about Jack Mildren.
Still don't know who he is.
Will Howard be drafted, in your opinion? Is this a guy?
Of course.
He'll be taken, but he'll be taken later, I think, is how that'll turn
out. Well, what later is anything past the first round?
Day three pick? I don't even know what they are, what the days are anymore. It's first round, second round, and then the rest, right?
I thought
they do the first round, the second and third rounds.
Yeah, and then the rest.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
So, I don't know. I think he's probably a third day guy.
Something like that. But you never know.
Well, that's true. Somebody will reach for him.
We've seen really good quarterbacks be taken on day three. We've seen average quarterbacks and busts taken number one overall. So, there's no
Marcus Russell.
There's not a science to this at all.
No.
There is none. It's a guess.
It's a guess, and if there was a science to it, we'd have all figured it out by now. We could all be GMs, right?
All probably should be.
Here are the top 10 quarterbacks in Ohio State history, according to a recent story on Bleacher Report. Les Horvath from the 40s, number 10. Mike Tomczak, who had a nice career in the NFL. Not any, not no stardom.
He had a couple good years with Pittsburgh, I feel like.
No stardom, but, you know, a guy. Cornelius Green from the early 70s. Very good player, but didn't do much.
No.
Rex Kern, have real memories of him because they were in the Rose Bowl every year, it seemed like, with Rex Kern. They were 10-0 and won the national title in his sophomore year. Art Schlichter.
Schlichter,
remember him?
Old Schlichter.
Had the old gambling issues. Bobby Hoying. Craig Krenzel. Joe Germain. This is not a great list.
It is not.
Terrell Pryor. Troy Smith. Obviously, this isn't the most up-to-date list you've ever seen. So no, there's been
a few since
then.
That's probably the top 10.
No.
Who's been since then? They had Kyle McCord. Who did they have? Well, obviously, Stroud and Fields.
Right.
They would be up
Stroud
there.
And Fields would be 1-2 now.
Probably.
But
Pryor won, or Smith won the Heisman. Where's my guy Cardale Jones?
He wasn't in this.
No, I liked
either.
Him.
He had that amazing game.
Yeah, the national championship
game. Yeah, and then
I thought he was going to do something in the NFL. Some of these people might have been just a little ahead of their time.
Man, it seems like you're talking a lot today, which is
well,
good.
I
What's
have
wrong
to.
With that? Which is good.
He's
I don't have a problem with
He's got something to say and
it.
He's got a point to make. Let him go. I love it.
What's wrong?
That's what you're supposed to do on this.
I don't know what's
wrong.
That's
what we're supposed to do.
Jamel Hall-Perrick, 225.
There you go. Jamel Hall-Perrick will join the show at 225. I'm sorry, not 225.
Yes.
525 today.
Yeah, that's
Jamel
what I said.
Hall-Perrick. And later on in the show at 625, Joanna Chadwick from Vibe Magazine. As we talk high school basketball, of course, Northwest at Heights tonight in the big game in the state, really. Heights coming off a win over Cape and Mount Carmel, another low-scoring game. What's going on with all the low-scoring games when the big-time teams match up?
I don't know, but Heights really plays defense. We've seen that throughout their entire season. They're holding teams to 41 or whatever Capen got might be the highest score against Heights this year. It's probably right up there.
54 to 50 or something like that.
It might have been. I was thinking 45-41.
45-41 was the Capen Northwest score.
Okay. So 54-50. Well, that's not terribly low scoring. In the shot clock era, it kind of is. I am talking a lot. What else you guys got? Throw something at me.
Well, go ahead.
I love it.
Apparently you think you know something.
I like Heights in this one. I feel like they're the team that has to be knocked off for another team to really take the mantle in the City League, and I'm not sure that's ready to happen.
Well, Northwest has only lost once, and that was to Derby. And perhaps we're not talking enough about Derby. Because they've had some really, really big wins.
If there was like a
They beat McPherson. They beat Andover. They beat Northwest. They're going out to Dodge City this week, next week, where they very well could match up against Heights.
For the Tournament of Champions.
If it wasn't as far as it is, and Derby and Heights, I might go to that game.
You had a rough experience at the Dodge City Tournament of Champions.
Well, that was, again, an issue with a girl who broke up with me.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, so this was like a long time ago.
It was a long time
and,
ago.
And I remember getting a call or a
You got
whatever.
A call? I got to hear this.
And you were not doing well. And
I fainted in the hotel
room.
Why'd
you faint?
Because I was in the hot tub. My room had a hot tub. They gave me like the Kingsman suite. And or whatever it's
the
called.
Residential suite?
Yeah, whatever it's called.
Nice.
And I had a hot tub in my room, and I just sat and wallowed in there for a long time. Got up, very lightheaded, fell.
Why were you lightheaded?
Because I was in the hot tub for a long time.
What were you drinking?
Nothing.
Well, that's
so this girl broke up with you via phone call?
Yes.
On your way to Dodge City or when
like
you were in
It was
Dodge.
Like the day before, or a couple of days.
And she said what?
I don't know.
Well, of course you do.
No, I don't.
If it affected you this badly.
It affected me very badly 17 years ago.
So were you working at this
tournament? I'm over it. Yeah, I covered it for the Eagle. I told them what happened. They said, no one, we never would have been able to tell that. Your work was that strong.
Wow. They said that.
Yes.
Huh?
That's great.
Who said that?
Kirk, I believe, said it.
Really?
Yeah.
Good to battle through it.
Yeah,
proud
I did.
Of you.
I did. I'm a pro.
But what you called me in distress.
I'm sure I called everybody in distress.
And,
did not enjoy being alone.
I didn't know what to do. I mean, you're in Dodge City, for crying out loud.
Didn't enjoy being alone at those.
Well, you think I'm driving to Dodge City?
No, but I needed to talk to somebody, and then I guess scraped the bottom of the barrel and called you.
What does that mean?
Oh.
Wasn't I comforting?
I doubt it.
It means you were on the bottom of the list, really, but you were the only one that answered. So he's like,
I thought I would have figured I was comforting to you.
Nah, not usually. But that's okay. Sometimes I needed to hear the truth.
Sometimes you just need to suck it up.
Exactly.
Way you go. It's not easy, but it happens.
Did you ever talk again with that young lady?
Of course. It dragged on almost like to the summer.
Really?
Yeah.
After that incident?
After all the incidents.
So you just couldn't find the key to make that thing work.
Just couldn't. Well, I guess not.
No, that's okay. I've been there and done that.
Yeah. It happens.
Sure, it does.
I wish we could have made a clean break, but it that's not how.
Well,
it
that was
out.
Up to you. You could have made a clean break.
Yeah, I wasn't mature enough to know that at the time.
Well, things happen.
Exactly.
Things happen in life.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Yeah, you learn from it.
That's exactly right.
There you go.
And I have, and I continue
to. And lucky you're a better person for it now.
No question about it.
Chiefs and Houston coming up tomorrow, of course. The early game, about 3:30 kickoff from Arrowhead. And then you've got the NFC game. The Rams at Philadelphia, both games intriguing, in my opinion. Who's got the best chance at an upset? Washington?
Rams.
The Rams or Houston?
Rams.
Probably the Rams.
Rams defense, young defense. They've played a lot better last month. The weather is going to be awful there, though, from what I understand as well. So it could be a turnover fest. They can run the ball.
Mm.
I got the Rams. I don't think Houston's going to beat Kansas City. I don't think Washington's going to beat Detroit.
I think Washington's not going to beat Detroit.
Well, we're
talking
about an upset.
But I don't think they're going to get blown out.
I think Washington has just a slim
chance.
No, they don't have a better chance.
They don't have a better chance than the Rams.
But I would not be surprised if Washington won.
I would be.
I would be surprised if they won. But this 9.5-point line, everybody else took it. I don't see Detroit blowing them out. Washington's too resilient. That quarterback is too good. They got too many weapons. Their defense is they're solid.
They don't got a lot of weapons.
They're solid across the line.
Washington.
They don't have a ton of weapons.
They got some good players. They got
McLaurin, the Ezekias guy.
Before this season, if I said, is McLaurin a huge weapon, what would you have
said?
He
is their main
never
weapon.
Had a quarterback.
But he's not a weapon. He's good.
I wouldn't say he's a weapon. And Jaden Daniels is obviously a big weapon.
That I agree with.
Running and throwing. Did you know, I read this stat, you see it on Facebook, you have no idea if it's true. Jaden Daniels has already had more games where his team did not punt or have a turnover than like Brady, Manning, and Mahomes combined.
Yeah, he had three of them this year. But they're going into Detroit. I understand what you guys are saying. I just think Detroit's too good.
Detroit
That's
is probably
my
too
opinion.
Good. Detroit has a lot of things going for
I
it.
I definitely wouldn't put any money on it because of the number, 9.5.
Maybe you can tease that down to 3.5 or something like that. Is that a thing?
Terrible tease, though.
Why is that? What's
because
a tease?
You're only getting 3.5 points. You're still giving away 3.5, so even if they win by a field goal.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. I don't know what
it
means.
If it was 8.5, you tease it to 2.5, then you're basically they just got to win.
FanDuel has distanced itself from me, so I don't know.
Why?
I don't know.
Why'd they get rid of you?
I don't know what a tease is anymore.
What's going on?
I can't answer that question.
Or a parlay. You know any of that stuff?
Yeah, I know what a parlay is. Not really a round robin.
All right, we need a break. We'll come back and talk with Jamel Holoperic from Visit Wichita about the figure skating championships. going on at Intrust Bank Arena. Big event. We'll talk to Jamel about it next.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, this is Big Love from Fleetwood Mac, Something Big, the musical theme of the week. Jamel Holoparik from Visit Wichita joins us, and a lot of people are visiting Wichita for the U.S. Figure Skating Championships. And breaking news, they're going to hold them on my street, which has enough ice to probably do that. How you doing, Jamel?
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing great. We're excited about this Figure Skating Championship coming up starting on Monday at Intrust Bank Arena. How many people is this bringing to town?
Oh, my gosh. We are going to have so many people. It could be up to 100,000 people throughout the week who will be here. And it's supposed to be, last year in Columbus, Ohio, it was an $8 million economic impact for the city there. And that's what we're expecting here. So we are so excited for next week. It's going to be a blast.
I think it, kind of goes without saying in a lot of ways. The name of the event is the U.S. Olympic Figure Skating Championships. But just to draw that out a little bit, what exactly is at stake when these skaters compete over the week?
Yes, great question. So it is the U.S. Figure Skating Championships here. So this is the national championship. And what happens is then they go to Worlds in Boston. But they have to compete well here. And then they go to Worlds, and then they go to the Olympics. So the same athletes we see here competing in our own backyard will be the same ones we cheer on in Milan, Italy in 2026. And there is a guy, you guys, he's in the men's division. His name is Ilya Malinin, and he is supposed to win the gold in the Olympics this year. He is the first skater to do a quad, which is like a four-turn axel, and they call him the quad god. And there is rumor, now you never know, but there's rumor that he's going to go for a five here at Nationals, possibly in Wichita. But nobody's ever been able to do a four, and they're expecting him to win the gold in 2026. And he's going to be right here in Wichita at Intrust Bank Arena. So it's going to be fabulous.
Can you get him on our show?
I can try. Absolutely. I'll do my very best for you guys, because you guys are always helping me out, and you're awesome.
Jamel, can you give us a little background on what it took to get this here and how long it took and how the process of getting something like this here to Wichita?
Yes. Okay. So this is the most prestigious event that they have, that the U.S. Figure Skating Championships have. So here's the deal. We've been working on this. We were hoping to get this for the past 5 years, but we had to start small. We had to build those relationships. So we had some smaller events here, like synchronized skating. Those are kind of smaller. Some juniors, and they came to Wichita. They saw it. You know what they really loved about Wichita, which I think is fantastic, is we have the Wichita Ice Center, and that's where the skaters practice, and there's two sheets of ice there. And then, you know, not what, 2 miles away is Interest Bank Arena. So they're so close together. They loved that. And I got to tell you, our sports team here, they did a great job working with them. So it's really just all about building relationships, you know, hosting those other events well so they can see that we have the staff, the team, the facilities, we have the hotels, and then we got the big one, and this is the first time in Kansas ever it's been held here, so that's awesome.
Jamal Holoparik, our guest from Visit Wichita, U.S. Figure Skating Championships starting at Intros Bank Arena, coming up on Monday. So take us through the schedule. If people want to come out and watch this competition, yes. First of all, how do they get tickets? And then how's it going to look on a daily basis? Is this only nighttime event?
Well, you know what? And it's a little bit confusing, so I'm going to simplify it for everyone. Okay, first off, just go to selectaseat.com and get your tickets. And it's /skating. So selectaseat.com/skating. Get your tickets. They're as low as $15. So that's the first thing. Second thing, here's the deal, and I'll be honest. You're really going to want to go to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Because earlier in the week, it's the juniors. And those aren't going to be the athletes that go on to the Olympics. So you want to get your tickets for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There are four disciplines, and that's what they call them, disciplines. But there's the men's, there's the women's, there's the pairs, and there's the ice dance. And they do, guys, what they do is they do a shorter routine, and then they do kind of a longer routine, and they skate both of those, and then what they get for their points on both of those, then that depends of, you know, where they qualify, if they win or whatever. But you're really going to want to go if you want to see those skaters, and I think most people do, right? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then what's kind of fun too, you guys, on Sunday after everything's over and the meddling is over, there is going to be what's called a skate spectacular, and this is just a really fun event. And Music Theater Wichita, they are going to sing these songs that the skaters, these great skaters, are going to be skating to, and that's Sunday night. So that's just kind of a fun event to go to after all the championships.
What is Boitano's Lounge, obviously named after former figure skating great Brian Boitano? What's his lounge all about?
Yeah, I love this. Okay, so he's a mixologist as well. So he's a great skater, or used to be, and he's also a mixologist. So he has some signature drinks he makes. So up in the Cox Lounge, that's going to be the Boitano Lounge. And what's fun about that, and you have to buy a specific ticket for that, but you can go on there and find it. But you can go up there and you can mingle with other skaters, former Olympians. Brian Boitano will be up there. He'll be talking with you. You can, you know, have his cocktail. So it's just kind of a fun VIP section for people if you want to do that.
So we only have one of us here in this studio who has skated to any measure. Do you skate, Jamal?
Oh, my gosh, I'm terrible. I'm almost scared now. You know what I mean? The older I get, because if I fall and I break something, oh gosh. But yeah, I can't skate at all.
I tried it about 20 years ago over at the Ice Center, and didn't go that well.
Oh, I wish I'd have been there for that.
You learned to skate, what, 5 years old?
I was in diapers still.
Well, that's
when you grow up in Canada. I mean, that just is what it is.
It's a rite of passage.
But you didn't skate like these people skate.
No, absolutely not. No, the best hockey players that skate, most of them have taken figure skating for years before that as kids.
Really?
That's a true statement.
You didn't?
Because figure skaters have the best skating technique than anybody.
Interesting.
Isn't it?
Look, I come up with this stuff every once in a while.
That's fascinating. Jamal Holoperic with us from Visit Wichita. This is a big event, no question about it. But then coming up in just less than 2 months now, we've got the NCAA first and second round also at Intrust Bank Arena. These are pretty busy times for y'all. How much work is going into that event?
Yes, so much work is going into that. And isn't that going to be a blast, too? I mean, we are killing it here in Wichita. This is so fun. I love our city. But, yeah, we're already, you know, working on all the parking, the street closures, how that's all going to go. And we're working with Wichita State on that. And, I mean, it's going to be such a fun event. I mean, I'm just so happy we get these big events in Wichita because it's so great for the locals and also obviously for tourism to get people around the region to come and around the country. So it's great, but it is a very busy time of year.
Jamal, when it comes to the athletes and obviously family and coaches, and did you talk to hotels and kind of say, hey, block the whole thing off? Are they staying at just certain places? Do they have? Are they on their own when it comes to food, or is that something that you guys help with too at Intrust Bank for all the athletes and coaches?
You know what? We work closely with U.S. Figure Skating or whomever is hosting it, putting it on, and we work with them at Intrust Bank Arena. But yes, on the hotels, and what they like too is we have so many hotels in the downtown area, so it's not a big commute for the skaters. But we work with our hotels, we work with our restaurants, and what's kind of fun too is we try to partner the local restaurants directly with U.S. Figure Skating. And so, hey, like this is something fun, homegrown, right down here by the arena. We got them working together, and they have a Pop-Tart that is called the Brian Boitano Pop-Tart. If you go in there now, it's red, white, and blue, and it's a cherry Pop-Tart. So that's what's fun about this is just getting everyone in the community involved and also benefiting our local businesses, hotels, attractions, to get people there to their locations.
All right. Well, it's exciting times for Wichita. We've been pointing toward this event for a long time, the U.S. Figure Skating Championships at Intrust Bank Arena, Monday through Sunday of next week. Jamal, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on to talk about it.
Hey, you guys are awesome. Have a great day. We'll see you.
Thank you.
Jamal Pyrek from Visit Wichita, formerly of Cake News.
That's right.
All of us are formerly, or well, you're not formerly, you're currently of KWCH.
Yeah.
Judah's formerly of Cake News, Cake Sports, and I'm formerly of KSN.
Yeah, sort of, I guess.
What does that mean?
I guess, did you appear? You appeared on air for them a few times.
I did. I was so good. I mean to ask Jeff Herndon if he still has that clip. Last time the first and second round was here, they did a live spot all on Thursday and Friday nights out at the arena.
Nice.
Don't you remember watching?
I remember, like, the last time they came in, I was supposed to, like, get coaches, the head coaches of the teams for radio spots on ESPN Radio, and, like, nobody wanted to do it. So I didn't get paid.
Well, you didn't. You got to be. You got to be forceful.
No one was out there. Like I tried to. I tried. Like no one was.
Well, here's what you got to do. You got to go to the media relations people and say, "Hey, we need to. I need to make this happen. ESPN Radio wants to talk to the coach after the game." Did you do that?
I don't know what I did. I went through Chris Tyson at least at KU. And they said no. So, whatever.
And you wonder if KU's going to be good enough to get assigned here this year.
I don't know if it has to do with good enough. They could still be like
they gotta be a top four seed.
They could still be like a four to get here.
Yeah, they're probably within the realm of that.
And you got to send them to Wichita. They'll sell out the place. Remember last time all the school kids came for their practice? And, yeah, I think that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, but that was a KU team people knew.
Yeah, it's KU, though.
I hear you, man. It's different.
It is.
Things have changed.
It's just different.
Do you know the youngest player ever hit a major league home run has passed away?
Who's that?
Tommy Brown, I believe his name is.
Tommy Brown?
Yeah. Hit a home run at age 17. in the big leagues.
Don't know that I've heard that or remember it at least.
Yeah.
Where'd you get that bit of information?
I found that on Twitter.
I thought you weren't on Twitter.
I'm not, but the Guardians are, and I'm part of that organization.
So you have some Twitter account that's only
to follow baseball.
Following Guardians.
And other baseball.
And that's all? Do you have any followers?
A few.
Guardians people?
Yeah, a few. Not many. Like five, maybe. No one cares. I'm the smartest fan there is. Nobody cares.
Why don't you get on the Pacers bandwagon then?
I have a Pacers Twitter also.
You do?
Yeah.
What kind of
follow the Pacers, but I haven't been on that in a while.
Why not?
I don't know. I've baseball has my heart. Pacers also
I believe
do.
You said yesterday yeah. that the Pacers are on equal footing now with the Guardians.
I didn't say that. I said,
did you hear that?
I said I'm more nervous watching the Pacers yes. than I am watching the Guardians. Not more
Wouldn't
nervous.
That indicate
just,
that you have as much or more emotionally wrapped up in the Pacers?
Perhaps, but I just think it's a different experience of watching the two teams. Like last
I've
night.
I've never seen you in a Pacers jersey or hat.
I have a Pacers shirt that I wore all the time in the summer.
You do?
Yeah, I've got a pennant up in my house of the Pacers. I've got a Pacers hoodie that you've seen many times. Yeah, and last night we sailed through a easy win over Detroit, and we'll keep it moving.
Did you watch it?
Of course.
Can't think of I don't think we watched sports last night. We watched Law and Order. I didn't get into sports.
Nothing wrong with that.
I don't know why.
Probably wasn't much on last night.
Not any good games, were there?
You don't have to get into sports every night, as I've demonstrated over the course of this show's history.
That is true. You
have
demonstrated
that.
Yeah. That I will concur.
Now, tonight there's not much college basketball-wise, so I don't know.
This is when the college football national championship should be played Monday after an NFL weekend. It gets center stage that night, but I'd rather have it leading in to the big NFL weekend as an appetizer rather than dessert. Does that make sense, dudes?
I actually kind of like that idea. Tonight would be great to sit and watch the national championship
yeah.
game.
Monday,
you can stay up and watch the whole thing and then enjoy your, if you win, have a party.
Exactly.
Wake up in the morning.
Got some NFL ready.
That makes sense.
I don't think Friday night would be a good time because people do too many other things on Friday night. And it kind of belongs. It's just I don't think the ratings would be nearly what they are on a Monday night.
Well, I could care less about the ratings. I'm thinking that it would be better just to have it on a Friday.
Yeah,
for
a lot of fans,
for a lot of people.
I don't agree with that. People go out on Friday.
Are you going out?
They go out to bars to watch football.
Exactly.
Yeah, they'd rather you stay at home and watch it.
I don't know if that's true.
Because they get bigger numbers.
The bars would be happier because they'd get more stuff on Friday night than they will Monday.
There's never going to be a college football championship on Friday night.
They played the semis on a Friday, right?
Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, when there's nothing going on.
There's nothing going on.
Nothing happening right now.
All right, play it on Friday.
Sweet.
Jesus.
Well, I see, we finally got him.
We got him.
We got him.
Yeah, you got
the crossover.
He absolutely broke down in a
heap. We broke him.
Carry on.
In a heap.
Good stuff.
What else you got?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No.
You got to have something.
I got nothing. I really don't have anything. Go for it. What do you got?
What about the Sunday games?
What about the Sunday
games? Are those the two NFC games?
You got Philly and the Rams.
No, you got you got Philly and the Rams and Baltimore and Buffalo.
Baltimore-Buffalo should be the best game of the weekend.
That's
going to
be
much
fun.
No question it's the best game.
Nobody has to work the next day. Few people do anyway. Yeah, you're going to enjoy that experience of watching that game. Hopefully it's a good game.
How's your Joe Auer piece coming?
No, it's going great. Talked to his parents today.
You know what the lead is?
No, I thought I did, but I've gotten so much stuff.
Why? See, this is, I don't know.
What?
Yeah.
You can't go out there and just load up. You got to pick your spot.
But they're people I had to talk to. I'm not going to not talk to his parents or his wife or his, I mean, I have one baseball player, Mike Pelfrey, one basketball player, Evan Wessel, an assistant coach, Brian Chadwick, his principal his last few years at Heights, his parents and his wife.
All right, well, that's not that much. But you made it sound like you'd talk to everybody in the world.
But they've all given me, like, gold.
About Joe Auer?
Yeah.
No offense, but...
Especially his parents today, my goodness. They told stories, and oh, I don't know. It's going to take a lot to parse through it all.
How long of a piece are you going to write?
It's going to be a significant piece.
Are you going to put it on KWCH? Is that what you're planning?
Yeah, that's the plan.
So do you have a maximum you can do, minimum, or you can do whatever?
I can do whatever.
I once, I think the most words I ever wrote in a story was one of the Wichita State plane crash stories I wrote. By the way, it's my tremendous honor to be able to write about that and terrible tragedy. But I went down to Oklahoma and talked to the family of Randy Keesaw, who was one of the people killed in that crash. I think that story was over 100 inches.
That's crazy.
But there was just too much,
right?
Too much stuff.
I don't think I could get to 100, even with all the stuff I have, but significant amount.
You take into account the tragic nature of this plane crash.
Right.
And all you have to do to explain it and what happened, and that eats away a lot of words right there.
Yeah, the detail that is
but
necessary.
Then the details from Randy's family and just spending time with them and how emotionally devastated they were and still were.
Of course.
It was just incredible. So anyway, that's probably the most words I ever... I got used to as a columnist, 800 words.
Yeah, that's the sweet spot.
And I don't think that's my fear of... everybody says you should write a book. I don't know. Could I?
Probably.
Get enough information.
It's just a story that you continue writing, right? My game stories were always 16 paragraphs. I didn't even plan it that way. This is always like 16 paragraphs.
Well, you ran out of steam.
No, I just told the story. Didn't need any filler.
16 paragraphs,
like
every day?
Pretty much. Like more than half, probably. We're exactly 16.
It's more than I wrote in my whole high school career.
Well, there you go.
I can see that.
Lots of writing.
We enjoy it, except
Judah. That's nuts.
What?
That's nuts.
What is?
That's a lot of writing every day.
It's like playing hockey to you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm just saying, that's lots.
Just happened.
You played a lot of hockey. We couldn't do that.
I grew at a very early age to love writing, and not a lot of people love writing. As I've discovered.
Have you ever really thought of writing a book? Like, seriously. Either one of you. Like, a serious. I know we joke about it. But have either one of you, like,
really
thought...
Well, I mean, you think about it all the time, but finding the time to do it...
Well, you'd have to shut down everything else, wouldn't you?
And I can't shut down everything else, so...
Maybe we could write a book together.
There you go.
What would that be like?
I don't know. Probably crazy.
I've got a great premise for a book, for a fictional... murder mystery, but I can't give away the idea because somebody would jump on it.
It's in Canada, right?
No.
Yeah, it is. He said no to cover that.
I don't think so. I think you got to have it really mapped out.
Maybe. I don't know.
That's how I feel about it.
And
I'm
don't
not
ever,
a map out guy.
I don't ever do outlines on anything I write. Even the Joe Auer stuff, I won't have an outline. I'll just go. And the next thing is the next thing, and we'll see. I don't
well,
know what
it's... Why, you know, whatever.
I think that's the better way to do it.
I agree.
I think a book's different. All right, time to take a break. We'll come back. One more hour to go on a Friday. Stay with us.
Stand by for an urgent bulletin.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I don't get it. I'm flustered. It's like we're talking two different languages. My God.
Now I'll explain it so even you can understand it.
Jeff Lutz.
Are you okay? You might need to go with Duda to the doctor later.
In an insane society, the sane man must appear insane.
And Jason Duda. For today, anyway.
True, I gotta give him a point there. Although it was wrong, he's doing all right. I'll let him leak out for a little while.
Me so Sally. Oh, so.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Strap yourself in and feel the G's.
Welcome back, everyone. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio on a Friday. Lots of football coming up this weekend and on Monday, Martin Luther King Day. But right now, Max, it is
time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Time to play the game here. We've got one from Jason Duda. What are we going to do?
All right, so it's kind of like a face-off situation. But in this, I'll give you a category. There'll be 10 possibilities, but if you get a top five pick, you get 2 points. If you get 6 to 10, you only get 1 point. Understood?
Sorta.
There's 5 different categories if we get to them all.
All right.
Fair enough. Who's going first?
We'll let Jeff.
Okay.
We'll let Jeff go first.
Most popular foods in America. There are 9 foods and 1 drink. Just so you both know before we start.
All right. 9 foods and 1 drink.
Yes.
The most popular foods in America. How about the hamburger?
Number 1. Jeff gets 2 points.
Pizza.
Pizza, I think, is 5.
Am I sure?
Yes, it is. So, Bob, you get 2 points. Jeff.
I'm going to guess. No, I don't want to guess the drink yet, although it probably is pretty obvious. How about steak?
Steak is not on the list.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
No points. You can take the lead here, Bob.
Chicken.
Yes. Chicken tenders, chicken nuggets. They are number 7. 1 point for Bob.
3 to 2.
We'll do 7 rounds if
we don't get them all. That?
No. We're going all the way, but we'll go 7 picks each unless you've picked them all already.
How about beer?
Beer is not.
It's not
on the
drink.
List. Is not the drink. No. Well, you could take a commanding lead.
I'm surprised that beer's not the drink. Now you got me rattled. French fries.
French fries are number 3.
Really? I mean, we eat them, but good grief. How about ice cream?
Ice cream is on the list. But I think it's number 8. Yes, so 1 point for Jeff, 5-3. Bob?
What numbers are we missing here?
You are missing 10, 9, 6, and 4.
All right.
4 is going to be tough.
The drink... I'm hung up on the drink, and that's a bad.
That is bad.
Bad way to be. But food, I'm running out of ideas. Milk.
Incorrect.
Not the drink.
Not the drink.
Tacos.
Tacos are not on the
Good
list.
Good grief.
I'm shocked at that. Food or drink? Good grief.
Well, there's only 1 drink on here, and the rest are food.
Golly. Barbecue.
No.
Where'd you get this list?
Well, wait. It's
macaroni and cheese.
It's all subjective. No, that's not on the list either.
We got a barbecue restaurant every 4 feet.
In the Midwest.
Most places now.
How's mac and
Bob,
cheese
your
now?
Pick, and then only one more round in this category.
I would say, golly, what's really bad for you? That's
yeah, exactly.
Eggs.
Well, eggs aren't that bad for you, but they're not on the list. One more guess each in this category. Jeff.
Well, the drink has to be water, but I'm not ready to guess it. Although I just gave it to you. How about potato chips?
Potato chips are on the list. Yes. Number 10.
I'm not going to win.
Well, we got a whole bunch of different categories.
So we don't win by each category?
No.
Okay. Cheese.
Cheese is not on the list.
That's
you missed.
Ridiculous.
Number 9, donuts.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if more people eat donuts than
eat
cheese.
Number 4, Oreo cookies.
Yeah, that's...
That's ridiculous.
Okay.
More than cheese.
Okay, how
or
about...
tacos?
How about the drink? You guys still couldn't figure out the drink?
I don't think it's water.
It's not water.
Milk.
I would say
Coca-Cola.
Coffee.
I don't know. Soda.
Soda.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I didn't know it'd be that broad, right? Like Oreo cookies, very specific. Not just cookies, but
well,
then you have
cookies. Cookies.
But then
I'd
you have all sodas.
You. Cookies. I'd have gave it to you.
Who's your source on this?
I can't remember it. It just crashed.
I think so. You made it.
I should have made it.
Well, I will guarantee you that more people are eating cheese than are eating Oreos cookies.
Isn't that something?
I would say that, too. Cheese is on everything. What's the next category?
Next category. Top 10 most valuable sports franchises in the United States.
I go first on this one.
You sure do.
New York Yankees.
New York Yankees are fourth, worth $7.55 billion.
These are all teams based in the United States.
These are all United States, not soccer or...
Not like an Europe. Canadian NHL
United,
team.
It's all United States.
There's no Canadian NHL
team. No
Canadian.
I'm just making sure, man. The Dallas Cowboys.
Number one, $10.1 billion. That's crazy.
L.A. Lakers.
L.A. Lakers are 8, 7.1, 1 point for Bob.
L.A. Dodgers.
You know what? The Dodgers are not on the list.
That's ridiculous.
That just can't be right.
Yeah, I never even thought of that, but it's not on this list. And this is the list I'm going off
of. Was this list made 35 years ago?
It might have been. The amount they pay their players, though, maybe the franchise isn't worth as much.
I don't know.
That makes the franchise worth more. Good grief. The San Francisco 49ers.
Stay number 10, $6.8 billion.
The New England Patriots.
Uh-oh.
Sixth.
Really?
$7.4 billion.
That's surprising to me.
And me too.
The Boston Celtics.
They are not on the list.
Oh, my God. That doesn't make a lot of sense. You can't cheat. He's going to cheat. What do we do?
Well, he doesn't get to. What are you doing?
You can't cheat.
I'm not cheating.
Yes, you are.
When we're done with this round, I'm going to look at my list and see what my list says.
Fair enough. My game, my list.
The New York Giants.
Yes. Number 7. $7.3 billion.
It's a lot of money.
New York Jets.
Yes. $6.9 billion at number 9.
I hate that. What numbers are we missing?
You're missing... You guys got 6 through 10. And you got 4 and 1. So you're missing 2, 3, and 5.
Can you tell us what sports are still out there?
No. No, he's not telling you what sports are still out there.
I'm surprised number 2 is... I'm surprised at 2, but...
The Boston Red Sox?
I don't know who's... How they do this. Boston Red Sox are not on the list.
I guess the Yankees are the only...
team that matters in baseball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Football.
Yeah.
Apparently is where it's at.
Basically.
The... Golly, it's hard to figure... Philadelphia Eagles.
No.
The LA Rams.
Yes. 7.6. They're number 3. So you got number 2 and
that's
number
2
5.
2 points.
Oh, yeah, that's 2 points. You're winning now, 11-10.
Now, aren't we done 7 rounds? Yeah.
You got 1 round each. 1 round, one more pick each.
Kansas City Chiefs.
No.
Now I'm going to look.
Yeah.
Since their owner was so rich, I'll go. He's not the owner anymore, but I'll go the Washington Commanders.
No, the New York Knicks are number 5.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Golden State Warriors are worth $8.8 billion.
Yeah, it's a lot. They're out there in Silicon Valley.
That they are.
What's the score now?
Yeah, there you go.
11-10.
What's the next category?
Well, let's go have some fun. Uh-oh. What happened? Okay, we're going to have some fun here, boys. This one is a little different because it's the quintessential Canadian foods.
Couldn't.
No one knows that. Pass.
We don't know that.
All right, we'll pass. You guys.
We're not from Canada.
So it's food. Okay, how about this one? Top 10 safest states in the U.S.
No.
All right. Let's go to this one. The 7 most notorious serial killers.
Fine.
Good. There's 7 of them.
I go first this time. Ted Bundy.
Ted Bundy is number 1. This one, you only get 1 point because there's only 7 of them.
BTK.
BTK is not on this list.
Oh.
John Wayne Gacy.
You are correct.
What does notorious mean?
Well, the top 7. Maybe he's 9.
By what? By number
by
of
what
people?
I've decided. So you got it wrong.
What? Then how did you decide?
By this list. Britannica.
You know,
there's some on here you probably won't get.
What's that guy's?
The Disco Strangler?
No. L.A. What? Max said something I didn't understand. Yeah, we'll go with the Boston Strangler.
Yeah, he's not on this list.
Thanks, Max.
The Zodiac Killer.
He is not on the list either. It's the top 7. Those guys are like
Zodiac
8, 9, and 10.
Like 1.
These guys are like 8, 9, and 10. Number 1 was
the
Ted
Zodiac
Bundy.
Killer.
Yeah, I just said that.
You just said that.
Who's that other guy?
I know who you're thinking of.
Sudden, what's that guy's name?
Oh, Son of Sam?
Son of Sam.
No.
Jack the Ripper.
Yes, exactly. Jeff gets another point.
All right, move on.
Like, you haven't even got some of these.
Right,
how do you
I
not
don't
know
I
some
don't
of
care.
These? Jeffrey Dahmer?
Yeah, Jeffrey Dahmer.
But what I want to know
Holmes,
what you mean by notorious.
Harold Shipman?
I don't know who Harold
was
Shipman
it by
is.
By number of people killed? What
Dr.
does that
Death.
Even mean? The most
They're the
notorious.
Most well-known, I guess.
Yes.
But
H.H. Holmes? The one I wouldn't
he's
have got.
Really well-known.
Pedro Lopez, I wouldn't
yeah.
have got.
Much
H.H. Holmes,
notorious.
The World Fair in like the late 1800s.
Yeah.
Bought that hotel and rearranged it for booby traps and everything, and anybody that stayed there during there, he killed them all. You never heard of that?
No.
Oh, my. Read a book.
No care.
Good gracious.
I think you just read that off of Britannic. Everybody who stayed there died?
I don't know if everybody did, but just about.
Next.
Well, what do you mean? You guys have ixnayed all my...
Well, they're bad categories.
They're
Give us something
categories.
Better.
Categories. Great categories.
We they want... are bad categories, and if you'd go with lists that make sense, but
well,
when you
they made sense to me.
Most notorious killers.
That was a good one.
That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. If you say, who are the serial killers who have killed the most people?
No. Jeffrey Dahmer is not on the list of
right
someone who killed the most people.
Right.
But he's the most one of the most well-known serial killers.
Of course he is, but so is BTK.
BTK is pretty well-known. But Zodiac Killer not being on the list is ridiculous.
Or Son of Sam. I mean, they made movies about these people.
They did. All right, here's one. Ready? Top 10 most valuable beverage brands. Well, you wouldn't be able to figure that out?
Go ahead.
Any kind of drinking aspect of it.
Go, Jeff.
It's your turn to go first. You
All
want
right.
me to go first?
No, I'll go first. whoever owns now Anheuser-Busch. I can't remember who it is.
So Budweiser.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you got it.
So Budweiser?
Well, yeah, Budweiser's the brand. Right?
There you go.
Good job. Number six, you get 1 point for that. It should take like six off for you whining.
Coca-Cola. But
Coca-Cola is number one.
You're kidding.
I'm not.
Of course it is.
Exactly.
Of course it's number one.
See, this one makes sense.
Not really. It's still kind of a weak category, but we'll go with
it. It is a weak category because there's a couple tricky ones in here.
Pepsi.
Number two. 2 points for Bob.
Coors.
Coors is not on here.
Great.
Too bad.
That is upsetting.
Is it? Is it that bad?
Miller.
No.
I was going to guess Miller. Tropicana.
No. But good guess.
Well, they got a lot
of... I'll give you an A for that guess.
How many are on this list?
10.
Dr. Pepper.
Ooh, close. But no.
Nestle.
No.
I guess the chocolate milk industry isn't thriving.
Well, it's thriving, but it's just not in the top 10.
Folgers.
Coffee? Oh, they're 17th.
Does Starbucks count?
No.
It's
a brand of a drink.
Michelob.
Ooh, that's a good guess, but it's not on here.
Is that Anheuser-Busch?
That's the same. Yeah, but.
Next one to get one wins.
Yeah. You each get a couple more guesses. There's a couple pops. There's still a beer. There's a alcohol. There's a whiskey or hard liquor.
Oh, yeah.
There's also
that one will be easy.
And there's also a energy drink.
Oh, I got all these.
Oh, now you got them.
Yeah.
My brain's gone. I'm my brain's out.
All right, Jeff.
Gatorade.
Gatorade is on here.
Yeah. You said what were the categories? You said again because my brain.
There's another pop one on here.
You said alcohol. That's Jack Daniels.
No.
What?
No.
Another pop one. Is Minute Maid.
The brand.
Sprite.
Sprite is on here. Yeah.
That's Coke.
I know it's the same thing, but it's on here. There's another one. As well.
Another pop.
Yes.
And it's not Dr. Pepper.
It's a brand.
It's a brand of pop.
You got to think about going to the store.
That's what I'm thinking about.
It might be a little cheaper than the regular stuff.
Shasta.
It has lots of different flavors.
Dr. Thunder.
Starts with an F.
Fresca.
Oh, God, that's a good one, but they're not on the list.
What is it?
Fanta.
Oh, Fanta. They have like two things. They have like strawberry, grape, and
they're number
orange.
10.
It's a terrible
number
category.
Three. The energy drink,
not Gatorade.
Gatorade's Red Bull? Nine. Red Bull.
How about that?
And the alcoholic beverage was.
It's not Jack Daniels.
Johnny Walker.
Johnny Walker.
The other beer on here that is number seven.
Heineken.
Yes.
Oh, man, I'm good at this. Give me all the points.
You are. See, look at you. You just ran through them all.
Give me all the points.
You're a good player.
Thank
I don't
you.
Care what anybody says. Jeff wins the game. Game's over.
That's it?
Yep. Bob's brain's not working.
That's unfortunate.
It's difficult.
What are we going to do about
that? Well, I can't believe we didn't do the Canadian one.
Who does Mays have tonight?
Who was it tonight? I just looked at it, too, because we were talking about wanting to go. But for some reason, Jackson's soccer coach scheduled them to practice every Friday night, which doesn't make much sense when all these kids are in high school. So he's going to practice, so I don't think we're going to go to the game tonight.
It's quite a bit going on.
Andover Central, maybe? Andover?
That might be a decent game.
I'm not sure.
Andover Central and Andover are both quality opponents.
I'm not sure if that's this week or not.
What tournament? Are they going to McPherson as usual?
No, I think they're going to, I thought, I thought, is it Park City maybe? No.
There's no Park City tournament.
No.
And they have Valley Center tonight.
Valley Center.
They have Valley Center tonight.
Is it Valley Center they got tonight?
The upstart Hornets.
How's that game going to be?
I don't know. I kind of like Valley Center.
Okay.
But they're 7-2 now. We interviewed their coach when they were undefeated.
Jeff, you got to at least with the Canadian favorite foods, you got to at least guess a couple. Took a lot of work.
Maple syrup.
Yes, number 3. Good job.
Canadian bacon.
No, that's ham.
Ham.
No, it's not on here. You should know one more at least.
I should?
Yeah.
Cheesies?
Like one of my favorite things.
Cheesies.
No. Not cheesies.
What is one of your favorite? The chocolate thing? Toffee thing?
No, it has French fries.
Oh, poutine.
Yes. Exactly. Poutine.
That's a good one. I should have guessed that. What about all-dressed chips?
Nope.
What about just pancakes? Something to put syrup on.
Oh, that would be good right now. Pancakes sound good. No.
Or French toast.
Lobster's on here.
Because you're by the ocean, you get some fresh lobster.
There is a type of chip on the list.
There is.
What would it be?
And it's not all dressed.
No.
Is it something I can get at the store here?
Nah, maybe certain places might have them.
But it's not like I'm going to go to the Dillon's chip aisle and just find it right away.
No, you're not going
to
find them at Dillon's.
It's some kind of, they taste the same as what?
I think I've brought them over here.
You've brought cheesies over here.
That's it? I haven't brought these ones over.
What are they?
Ketchup chips.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I have.
I enjoy ketchup chips.
Exactly.
Sort of. Well, you gotta be in the right mood for ketchup chips.
Nanaimo bars, Bannock, Saskatoon berries. Oh, crazy Canadian stuff.
I bet they like a lot of American food too.
Yeah, they do.
I bet they like bacon more than they like burgers, Saskatoon berries.
And burgers. That's why I couldn't do like a top 10 in Canada, because they'd be basically the same thing.
Ketchup chips. That's a good one.
Ketchup chips are fantastic.
Not as good as the ketchup popsicle.
No.
I don't know. I haven't had that.
All right. Time for a break. When we come back, we'll talk with Joanna Chadwick from Vibe Magazine. High school basketball in our area tonight. The big one, Northwest at Heights. Stay with us for Joanna Chadwick next.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. God needs strange woman.
Believe me, this chick's no cinch. But I better get her going. Aerosmith, big 10-inch record, the name of that one. Here's Joanna Chadwick joining us from Vibe Magazine, longtime high school sports writer, now a journalism instructor as well at Derby High School. We're in that week before tournaments. One of my favorite weeks is tournament weeks. I want you to talk about some of the tournaments that look really competitive. But first, Wichita Heights, Wichita Northwest tonight at Heights. I think we have four of the best teams in the state right here in our area with Heights, Cape and Mount Carmel, Northwest and Derby. And maybe there's others. Maybe you throw Andover into that mix, Andover Central, somebody like that. But what kind of a chance do you think Northwest has of going up out to Heights tonight and pulling one off?
Well, I mean, they had this conversation last week about why these City League games are so low scoring in some of these really big games. And I thought it was kind of an interesting thing, because how many times have we seen a couple of the City League games, the top teams battle, kind of like that Cape and Northwest game, where it was like 49-45 or something like that. And it always intrigues me. And I think it's because there's so much riding on it. And it is so intense that sometimes it maybe there's a lot of stress connected to it, where there's bragging rights, there's the City League, et cetera, because both of those teams can score a ton of points in bunches. And so I'm curious to see what this game is going to look like, because the Northwest that I saw against Derby, they put up a lot of points. And I've seen Heights play several times. They can score a lot. So I hope it's just a really fast-paced, up-tempo game. It's going to be where I am tonight, and really looking forward to it. I look at these four teams, and really impressed at how Capen came back after losing to Northwest like that and then just dominated Andover Central. I thought that was a really, really impressive one. And I know then they had another tough game right after that, but really impressed with these four teams.
Yeah, let's talk about Derby because, man, if there were like power rankings or KenPom RPI or whatever, Derby would be far and away number one because they've beaten Andover, McPherson, an undefeated Valley Center team at the time that's still pretty good, and then Northwest. Did anyone see this coming?
That's a really good question. I don't know if 8-0 was the expected start. I think when you're talking the ABCTL, the way it's been, let's say over the last 5 years, maybe longer, but the teams are always so close that you could switch this around just a little bit and suddenly you're 4-4. And I think that you got to have a little bit of something that goes along with it. Sometimes where that shot falls this time, or maybe last time it didn't. And I'm not saying luck, because Derby's not, this is not a team that I would ever say that they're here because it's luck. But you know, when you're playing top teams, that it could go one way or the other very, very easily.
Joanna, with all the tournaments this weekend right now, if you were to pick one to go to with maybe some of the better teams in it, which one would you go and watch?
Well, I'm already picked one, and I'm definitely going to Dodge. I mean, they've got four unbeaten teams there right now. You know, you've got Derby, Heights, Piper, and Junction City there. That's incredible matchups. So I'm really excited for that one. But there's always good tournaments. We're so fortunate on the boys' side to just see a lot of different tournaments that really, you can pick one and you're going to see outstanding play.
Joanna Chadwick with us from Vibe Magazine. You mentioned all the good teams that are going to be playing at Dodge City. That tournament would be right there in terms of tradition. You'd certainly have to throw McPherson into that mix and a few others. But just talk about the charm of the Dodge City Tournament of Champions and the things they do to make that tournament special, and just being in Dodge City and hanging out. It's been years since I was in Dodge City, and I always really enjoyed going out there.
Dodge City does it right. I miss the days when it was being played at the old Civic Center, even though it wasn't the nicest place in the world, but it was very homey. I was very much attached to the hospitality room at that one. People brought in food kind of like they do at Halstead, which, you know, or maybe it's the fax classes that made the food. But what Dodge has is they make it an event. You know, everything attached to it is about making it an event. Look at the schedule. The schedule is made to be an event so that you have a game at 7:30 and 9 because they have a break in between. Even on Thursday, you look at how they go and they read to the kids at the local elementary schools. That is so cool. They've got a pancake breakfast. They have contests. I mean, you're in Dodge, you're far away from your family, and you get to grow as a team in a pretty fun environment. And I think that's really special.
I don't have a youngster at Andale anymore, but I still kind of pay attention to what they're doing. And it kind of just looks like that typical, we're going to get off to a slow start because all our guys were playing football, and it takes a while to get yourself into basketball shape. And then they've won five straight, including a win last week against Collegiate. Is that kind of what's happening with Andale?
I mean, we've seen it happen how many times? I mean, that is definitely impressive. And I don't care. Any win over collegiate is always going to be a good one. And I think that that says a lot about where they're going to go. I can't wait for that second game between collegiate and Andale. Andale's just, they're a sports school. You know, I mean, they're just, it's always really impressive to see how many of those kids play multiple sports. Huge numbers out for all their sports. I love that.
Joanna, we were talking about the low scores, it seems like. Do you think that this has anything to do with the shot clock? And not that they're not getting the shots off, but when you're 15 to 18 years old and all of a sudden you have this little clock in the back of your head, do you think maybe that has something to do with it, that maybe you're not getting the quality shots you're taking, or you know you got to get one off rather than trying to run your sets like they used to in years past?
I mean, are we really seeing a lot of low-scoring games? I mean, or are we picking and choosing a couple that we've seen?
Well, in those City League games, like you said, I guess you kind of gave an explanation for it, that it's really tense, and I get that. But I don't know. Is there anything to that, that, you know, it's there has been some adjustment?
I don't know. Maybe there has. I just haven't seen – I've seen an awful lot of games. And I just haven't seen this, holy crap, I need to shoot the ball. I've only seen a few missed, you know, where the actual buzzer goes off. And then, you know, maybe it depends on the level of the basketball team, because a lot of these kids who play at a high level in the summer, they're playing with a shot clock. I mean, if they're on like the recruit look, you know, they're already playing with a shot clock. So maybe it does to an extent, but honestly, I would have to look at data, because I've covered so many games over the years. I don't know if I could say there's this many games. Did that not happen before? Because I can almost guarantee it did. I think a lot of people like to point to the three-point shot as always being the reason why there's low scoring, or why, you know, teams struggle, is because they're just jacking up threes. I think that there's some truth to that. So is there some truth to the fact that there's going to be some teams who are taking shots that they shouldn't have? Yeah, but if you have the ball in a possession for longer than 35 seconds, I don't know. I guess I would have fallen asleep already anyway. It's not a great possession. Thank you.
No.
Joanna Chadwick with us. I got a hypothetical for you, and you'll love it. Forget for a moment you're married to the Derby girls coach, okay?
Oh, for God's sake.
Let's put that out of our memory banks. So I'm going to give you a field of eight. Let's say they're in a postseason tournament, these eight girls teams, and I'm going to ask you to pick the winner. Wichita Heights, Derby, Andover, Wellington, Heston, Halstead, Haven, and Mays South. Who is the favorite to win that girls mid-season tournament?
Oh, my God. I just don't.
Come on,
like,
Joanna.
Why?
You know she's not going to pick that. Brian's not listening.
I can't even believe how crappy this is that you're doing this to me. First of all, I refuse to answer this. And so what I'm going to do is I'll give you my favorites. How about? How about that?
Derby.
Okay. Derby is definitely one of my favorites. They're deep. They are a fast-paced team. They've got a lot of talent on that team. They know the game of basketball. Okay? And then I'm going to say the same exact thing about Andover and Heights. The thing with Andover is that did not look like the team that I saw play against Heights, did not look like the team that I saw play against Derby in game one. Andover in game one was outstanding. They struggled at times against Heights. They were able to get back into it. Heights and Derby cause problems for team because of their speed. Andover causes problems because they have that a really good inside-out game. Let's see. What were the other teams you said?
Well, I threw Wellington in there because I think they'd be difficult because they're so skilled.
I think Wellington is also a very tough one. And the thing is that a lot of people make a big deal about Britt Zica and Val Norwood. They're both 1,000-point scorers, and understandably so. But if you look at their box scores, is that they've got about five kids, same thing with Derby, consistently scoring in double figures or around double figures. And so I wouldn't want to play Wellington either. I think they're very talented. I would say those are top four.
I don't know. I don't know who I'd take. Derby might be the favorite.
You didn't even mention Bishop Carroll, though.
Well, I can't mention everybody. I got to cut it off at eight, right?
So apparently I think I can mention everybody as you put this question to me. There.
Well, Bishop Carroll would certainly be a factor, no question. But I think without having seen any of these teams
this year.
Didn't
Carroll beat Heights?
Carroll
did beat Heights.
Yeah. So you kind of might want to have in there.
That game should not have gone into overtime either. That was real weird call there at the end of the game.
Anyway, just something for thought. What do you have?
I don't really have much else of anything. Jason didn't get his Mays question in. And Mays has a pretty big game tonight against Valley Center. But, hey, if you don't want to talk about Mays, maybe Mays South, they're so young. And I feel like Joe Jackson, they've had a difficult start to the season. But I feel like if any coach, I mean, there are several, but one of them who could probably round that team into shape and have them looking pretty good by the end is Joe Jackson.
Well, I think he's got someone to build around with Cy Stuckey. A lot of their game goes through Cy. And he's got such good skills. He's got such good size. I mean, I would be happy to have a team where I could build around him. The thing with that Mays Valley Center game, Valley is tough. And I don't know how much that we've talked about them, but they're tough. And they've got some kids who can score. They do not make it easy on you at all. So I think that Mays Valley Center game will be a great matchup.
Yeah, another close win in what has been a remarkable start for Derby. They won at Valley Center by 1 point. Joanna, always a pleasure. Have a good time out at Heights tonight. We'll follow along on X for updates. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Joanna Chadwick, Vibe Magazine, as we talk about high school basketball in our area. We got NFL football. We got high school basketball tonight. We've got the college football championship game coming up on Monday evening. And we've got Miles Straw offloaded to the Toronto Blue Jays.
We sure do.
There's potentially to be a move along with some international bonus money that could indicate that the Blue Jays and Roki Sasaki are a possibility.
I don't know. They have $8 million. And some change to the Dodgers, $5.5 million or something like that, in left in international bonus pool money. So if they want to make Sasaki the biggest offer, then they'll be able to do that.
He should go to Canada.
Some of the thought is that he wants to be the big fish in Toronto rather than the small fish in L.A. Because of endorsement possibilities.
Makes sense.
I wonder, it doesn't matter, but I would just wonder what else the Guardians could have done with that extra $2 million with two teams really going hard.
They got rid of Miles Straw.
They got rid of Miles Straw. That's what they did.
That's what they did with the $2 million.
Right. I understand. That's why I said I wonder what they could have.
That's a pretty good way to spend $2 million.
I wonder what they could have done. Could they have gotten like a James Outman or one of those Dodgers pitchers, like an Emmett Sheehan or somebody who's not going
to
be in their
future? Bringing up that much money allows them to do that.
No, they're not going to do anything. If they didn't do it with this, they're not going to do it at all.
Well, don't give up hope.
Ownership doesn't really give you much reason to hope.
Well, you're in the playoffs most years.
Yeah, but I want more than that. I want some muscle. I want a team that on paper, it looks like, hey, this is going to be a team. And I said, it's going to be a good team.
Well, if you want muscle, why'd you pick the Indiana Pacers as your NBA team?
Or the Cleveland Guardians as your baseball team?
Because when I picked the Cleveland Guardians, Indians as my baseball team, there was no more muscle in the game. They had the best lineup in baseball by far and a really good pitching staff, and I picked the Pacers because they're fun. And I like the Pacers. There's muscle there. They made it to the conference finals. I'm rolling with two Final Four teams.
Well, that's what you tell yourself. Good for you.
Well, it actually kind of is true now that I think
about it. It's not like these teams are hopeless. They're playing. They're out there. They're doing it.
Well, then be encouraged about the Guardians. I thought it was good. If you can unload Miles Straw, no matter what, it's a good thing.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that happened.
You don't like Miles?
He's terrible. And they signed him to an extension, an affordable extension, not a crazy extension.
It was a fairly crazy extension.
But not a crazy money-wise
extension. Not crazy money. Although, for a player of that caliber?
Well, when they did it, he was actually playing well. And I don't know. He fell off a cliff offensively. I mean, he had some hope. He was never going to be Barry Bonds, but, you know, he could do stuff. He could run, make life a little more difficult. He stopped running. He's terrible. So there you go. He's Toronto's problem.
You've done
now.
More than my team has done, and I'm still waiting for the first move that I'm not sure is going to happen. It's very discouraging.
They haven't made any moves yet? Like none?
No.
Not on the major league roster, I don't think.
They have not spent a dime. They've lost a few players to free agency, but that's not a move. That's losing players to free agency. And they haven't signed any free agents. They haven't made any trades. And that's where we are with the St. Louis Cardinals, who are mystifying. I don't even get it. Makes me angry. And on that note, we'll call it a night. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back Monday. We hope you enjoy your weekend. See you soon.